Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The wait for home run number 61 continues for Yankees fans, baseball fans, and Aaron Judge. Was tuned in last night. We're still doing live look-ins on the at-bats. It feels huge, like the 98 home run chase, which I appreciate. But he's sitting at 60 home runs. Last seven games, an 0-for in that category. He's hitting just .263, but still think he'll get to and surpass the 1961 total of Roger Maris as the Yankees play at Rogers Center early this week. Speaking of baseball, let's talk a little Nats. They are at home at Nationals Park, winding down this season, and it's time to kick off our Beltway Blitz. Our buddy Dave Jagler on the call tonight, 7:05 first pitch, Braves, Nats, Jags. Atlanta loves hitting at Nationals Park. 8 runs each of the last two games. You can say a lot of people like hitting off this team in this rotation, and I get that. But it's like a home run derby every time they come in here. It's amazing what they've done.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's been JV against varsity against these guys. When the Nationals have pitched them well, they've been competitive. But in this series, again, the home run ball and 41 home runs in 18 games is the most the Nationals have ever allowed in a single season to a single opponent. And unfortunately, the Phillies have a chance to break that this weekend. But the Braves and the Phillies in particular have dominated the head-to-head series with the long ball.
Jags, Luis Garcia is in a struggle, and I think he's going to do this until he develops some plate discipline. I don't think he's got to walk 100 times a year, but you at least got to get into plus counts every now and again. At least got to get into a positive place and not just swing at the first thing that you can reach. I think this is kind of inevitable until he learns that. There'll be great moments for like a month or so where he's hitting .370 doing that, but now that he's 0 for his last 200 trillion numbers approximate, you know, the numbers have kind of calmed down a bit. He's got to get some plate discipline.
I'm not going to use that stat on our broadcast tonight, but I get your point.
Yeah.
if he could improve his chase rate, Danny, by, I don't know, 5 to 10%, he'd be even that much better a hitter. Now, his bat to ball skills are strong. And you know what? What's been really interesting this season watching him, he almost does better against good pitching. You know, he's hit well against Scherzer. He's hit well against DeGrom because those guys are around the plate. Guys who are around the plate, he can hit good stuff. He can hit good fastballs. He can hit off-speed pitches. It's the guys who spray the ball that he can't hit because he's just going to swing at anything. And, again, if he can learn that, he'd be so much better. And he'd hit for more power because, honestly, he's able to reach some of those pitches, but they're often resulting in weak contact, either for hits to the opposite field or outs. If he would get ahead in the count, make the pitcher come into him, then he could do damage to the pull side and hit for more power because it's there.
Garcia, .275 with 6 homers this season, hitting .186 with a sub-500 ops over his last 15 games. He is scuffling. Joey Meneses is not, Dave. We have not really gotten a chance to chronicle this story with you, but 48 games now. We're closing in on 200 at-bats. Mm-hmm. Now that's a third of a big league season or more. And it's a dozen home runs and a .940 OPS and about a .330 batting average. What a story he's been.
Yeah, and the league has tried to adjust to him. Granted, as you would figure, he comes up, he does damage. They've been trying to pound him with fastballs in, and he's had to make that adjustment, and he's able to handle breaking ball away. I had the chance to talk to Brian Snitker, the Braves manager, and in Atlanta, he intentionally walked Joey Meneses twice with the game on the line to face Luke Voit, and this is a guy we had never heard of, you know, 2 months ago, and I asked him about it. I said, why did you walk Joey Meneses intentionally? He said, well, I was watching him. He hits fastballs. He hits breaking balls. He hits to all fields. I'm not going to let him beat me. He's their best hitter. So, I mean, that's where we are. The Joey Meneses is the focal point of the other team's scouting report. Would you have believed that 6 weeks ago?
No. Josiah Gray needs a good start, I think, to close out this season, Jags, on a good note. What have you seen from him?
Well, unfortunately, the home run ball gets him. I think, you know, there's been a lot of positive with this season with him. The strikeout rate is good. The breaking ball is good. He probably needs a serious overhaul. It's probably more than a tweak with his mechanics because he tends to fly open with his front side, and that causes his fastball to run to his arm side, and so he can't get the ball in on lefties. When he misses, he'll miss badly to the outside, non-competitive pitches, but then when he tries to go in, he misses over the middle of the plate and up, and that's why he's giving up home runs. He's got to get those mechanics locked in, get on a better line to the plate. There's a lot to work with there, but that's going to be the key. If he can figure that out and get his fastball command locked in, his breaking ball can be elite. But that's what he's got to improve on, and that'll cut his home run rate. Because giving up, you know, almost 40 home runs in 140 innings is not good enough. But there's a lot of good there, and if he can fix that, then you've got something special.
Yeah, I'm still high on him. 9.6 strikeouts per nine is tough to find. And, yeah, he's given up the most homers and the most walks in the league this year, 37 and 64 respectively. But, as you said, there was a lot of good early in the year, and it can wear on you just being on a team of this caliber all season long as a young player. He's just 24. Hey, last thing really quick, I want to sneak this in. Do you know anything about Mackenzie Gore and whether or not we will see him make a start?
I think that's the plan, honestly, because the minor league season is over, and I think they would like to have him go into the offseason, having even if it's two or three innings under his belt at the big league level with the Nationals uniform on, and it would make sense for that to happen on Saturday, knock on wood, weather permitting. That would be his day to pitch. It's a doubleheader game. They're going to need the innings. So my hunch is that that's going to be what happens. They're obviously not going to announce that until he throws his side session following his last AAA rehab start, but I think it is pointing in that direction.
Jax, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great call tonight.
Hey, it's great to be on the Beltway Blitz. It's where all the great announcers want to be.
People aspire. People aspire. Only if you achieve. We appreciate it. As always, let's talk hockey, please, Dares. Capitals Radio gives us Ben Rabe, who joins us here on the Beltway Blitz. He's going to talk about the Capitals. Ben, where is this team coming into the season in the pecking order of the Eastern Conference?
Well, I'll echo the sentiments of General Manager Brian McClellan last week, who acknowledged, similar to late last season, when he suggested they may not be the top tier of the NHL, the Colorados, the Tampa Bays, etc. But he feels, objectively speaking, they're at the top of that next tier and still a playoff team and still a team that could contend for a potential deep run in the postseason. And I like that honesty coming from the general manager acknowledging, look, again, maybe not the top three, maybe not the top five in the NHL, but still, you know, the better half, the top half of the league, the top half, you know, maybe of the conference. I think they're going to be competing, you know, for one of those final playoff spots. I still view them as a playoff team. We'll see come springtime whether they do have it in them to make a deep run, which has been elusive since the 2018 Cup year.
Ben, they open a couple of weeks from now. They've got five preseason games, including one coming up tonight against Philadelphia. TJ Oshie said he thought he might need one game to get ready. Obviously, he's going to play in a couple more than that. I mean, what's your thought on, you know, how much work some of these guys need to be 100% at the start of the year? And how will this work over these coming several days in terms of ramping up the veterans?
Yeah, I think they're playing it pretty conservatively this fall with the six-game preseason. I think the games you really want to keep an eye on, you know, if you're looking for the quote-unquote varsity club, are next week. Next Wednesday, they're back home, and then the preseason finale, a couple of Saturdays from now, October 8th, also at home. I would anticipate those two games being a little bit more veteran-laden. They have three games until then, and they're sprinkling in quite a few prospects, quite a few Hershey Bears, because I think, to your point, given the veteran nature of the team, given the thoughts of TJ Oshie, and I'm sure there's other vets that would echo those sentiments in terms of not necessarily needing a whole lot to ramp up, you know, maybe two games for the likes of an Ovechkin, you know, another couple of games for Carlson, for example, but you know, probably pretty conservative as far as what we'll see from the vets. But I would anticipate next week they'll get going for real.
Benjamin, Alex Ovechkin is 114 goals behind Wayne Gretzky. I would have thought it unthinkable coming into, you know, maybe the last couple of years, but you just, you know, as an old man, casually scores 50 goals again last year. I ask you before the start of this campaign, What chance do you give him to break it?
Oh, he's doing it. He's doing it. 4 years remaining on his current contract, and given the fact that we haven't necessarily seen, you know, a real dip in production. Look, he's coming off a 50-goal campaign last year. I'm not predicting that necessarily again this year, but if he could continue to pop in 35, 40-plus, as he has shown the knack to do over several years here, yeah, it's there, fellas. It's real. It's not a pipe dream. It's something real. And the thing I'll say quickly about it that I admire from the team standpoint is it's really not a distraction. If anything, I really believe it's a carrot that the players, his teammates, rally behind. And when they're playing, you know, run-of-the-mill games in January, February, over the course of an 82-game campaign, when Ovi gets on one of his runs, I think the team really feeds off it. We've seen examples of that in years past. I think the chase is real, and I think it's a real motivating factor, not only for Ovechkin, but for his teammates collectively.
Ben, looking forward to being back at Cap One Arena and seeing you soon. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, appreciate it, fellas. Thank you.
See you, man.
From the ice to the gridiron, Blitz continues. Scott Abraham joins us, Channel 7 Sports in town. We'll be watching him this evening. Scott, why don't we just start with the latest on some injuries? Sounds like the offensive line is super banged up. No Leno at practice today, no Schweitzer either.
That is correct. Yeah, I mean, Wes Schweitzer is still in the concussion protocol. So that means Nick Martin, who's actually the brother of Cowboys guard Zach Martin, is basically the next man up. He signed with the Commanders just 2 weeks ago. And in terms of Charles Leno, it doesn't seem like Ron Rivera is too concerned with Leno's injury. He expects him to play and just kind of like a maintenance day today. But obviously, we know the track record of this offensive line the last couple of weeks, giving up 9 sacks last week, and then you're going up against the Cowboys pass rush that had 5 sacks on Daniel Jones on Monday. So a little concerning trend here in terms of injuries in the offensive line.
Why have they had such bad first halves each of the last 2 weeks?
That's a great question, Danny. I've been asking that to Terry McLaurin and Ron Rivera, and I don't think they really have that answer. And they've obviously made it a point of emphasis in practice this week, trying to get things going, move those chains, get that first down, hoping everybody's on the same page in terms of play calling, scheme, protection. It's one big kind of machine that all has to work together. But going back-to-back weeks with 0 points in the first half, that's unacceptable, guys.
Yeah, so how do they figure that out? What do you think the fix is, or what do you expect them to try to do more of now?
I mean, I think in terms of in getting the ball out quicker for Carson Wentz, whether that's eliminating the, you know, seven-step dropbacks and just getting the ball out quick, screen pass, slant patterns, because, you know, Dallas wants to pin their ears back and get after Carson. So maybe a little tempo, establish the run the football. We got to move those chains, got to get into a rhythm. And I would love for them to get Terry McLaurin involved quickly, because getting his first catch in this coming in the second half, that doesn't work out too well either, guys.
Scott, one of the things that drives me nuts is when coaches or people in charge set expectations, and then when they're not met, totally pretends those weren't the expectations. And here's what I'm talking about specifically. Ron Rivera's talked a lot about the year three jump, and we should all be talking about a year three jump, because you've had 3 years to sort of figure this thing out. Look how much faster Philadelphia's done it than you. And now he's talking about, well, we're playing young guys. It's like, dude, you control the roster. It's your fault that we're playing young guys. Like, just that kind of rhetoric sort of has always kind of bothered me. What are your thoughts there?
I'm with you, and you're right. Ron drilled it into all of our heads that year three is such a big year. You have to show improvement. And after 3 games, small sample size, I know a lot of fans are really frustrated out there, guys, that they don't see that improvement from year one to year three. And you bring up a good point. I used that on my show the other night with, you look at Philadelphia. They were down in the dumps for a couple of years ago. Washington had their number, beating them up pretty good. And now look at them, probably the class of the NFC. Why can't that be Washington? Why can't that be the Commanders? What is the issue here? Is it the fact that they're not developing these young guys, or the young guys are not taking that next step? For example, Montez Sweat, a highly rated defensive end, drafted high, expected to be one of those chess pieces opposite of Chase Young. He doesn't have a single sack, guys. I mean, these young guys have to take that next step. How much is that coaching? How much is it simply the players not living up to the expectations? it's something they have to figure out, or it's going to be a lost season quicker than later.
Scott, let's end here. What's your expectation for Sunday in Dallas?
I think we're going to see a better showing, especially in the first half. I think they know that they can't get behind 20 points, double digits. You're not going to win football games. I'm expecting Washington to come out really focused, really determined, try to set the tone in that first half. I think the spread is 3 points. I think that's fair and accurate. I think it'd go either way. Cooper Rush, you got to make him uncomfortable, put some pressure on him. I think Washington, you know what? I think they'll play well, and hopefully they come out with a win on the end. It'll be a better game than they did against Philly.
Scott, thank you, buddy. Let's talk soon.
See you, fellas.
See you, bud.
Scott Abraham, check him out on Channel 7, local sports in town. There was a story over the weekend that we didn't get to talk about over the last couple days yet. We wanted to at least give some thoughts on it before we moved on and forgot that it ever happened. It was a Washington Post piece. It was a report that there are owners that are at least advocating for Dan Snyder being ousted. That there are some owners in football that would like to see a vote that they think someone's got to tell him to step down. Now, none of them said, I'll do it. They said,
right, somebody.
Be nice if somebody did something. Well, it's up to them to do it. Do we give any credence to or do we think anything of that development? I'm not saying the actual report itself, but do we think that the report leads to anything or actually in the big picture means a whole lot? How many times have we played that game?
Yep.
Oh, look at this. This could be problematic for Dan Snyder. Fast forward 2 years later. And he just owns the entire team, and nothing's really changed. Let's get into that next on G&D here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Looking forward to catching up with Michael Phillips of the Richmond Times-Dispatch in an hour and a half to get the latest on the Commanders out in Ashburn. 30 minutes from now at the top of the hour, right at 5, we are spinning around the NFC East, going to provide the blitz of the division, get you the latest on Dallas, back-to-back wins, the Eagles, maybe the best team in the conference right now, and the Giants suffering their first loss of the season. Particularly relevant today, we'll do this every Wednesday at 5 o'clock because Washington is playing a second straight division game this weekend. But, Danny, you saw the story like I did, and we got to pay it some attention here. We had not mentioned it over the last couple days. NFL owners' attitudes hardened toward Commanders Daniel Snyder. This is from Mark Maskey, Liz Clark, and Nikki Jabvala, who covers the Commanders beat right now. I'm going to read the first graph here from the Post. This came out Saturday night into Sunday morning. I think most of us actually saw this first thing Sunday morning.
That's right.
Sentiments among NFL team owners regarding Daniel Snyder's ownership of the Washington Commanders have shifted significantly as they await the findings of both a congressional investigation and a league-commissioned probe into allegations of misconduct by him and his team. Multiple owners said in recent days that they believe serious consideration may be given to attempting to oust Snyder from the league's ownership ranks, either by convincing him to sell his franchise or by voting to remove him. Now, we know that 24 of 32 owners would have to vote to remove him. It needs to be a three-quarters majority. In this story, in this report that the Post did, all the owners they talked to spoke on the condition of anonymity because this is a sensitive topic and they don't want their names out there. But their willingness to address it at all is notable because of the league and owners having said so little publicly over the last calendar year. The Post wrote, "While no action is imminent, the comments reflect a growing level of frustration among the owners over the controversies that have engulfed Snyder and the Commanders and the team's financial performance under his ownership, including his inability to secure public financing for a new stadium," which we haven't talked about now because the season's going on, but shouldn't be forgotten.
It's still a black eye for them, yeah.
They were supposed to have secured their location months ago. They still don't know where they're going to build. We thought Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. would be fighting over them. Basically, they're all trying not to have the Commanders there more so than fighting over them. As recently as a few months ago, several owners expressed wariness about such an attempt at ousting him, in part because of the prospect of Snyder responding with legal action. So I ask you, Danny, this story here, where they have an owner quoted as saying he needs to sell. Some of us need to go to him and tell him that he needs to sell. They have another owner here saying, "I think there will be a movement. We need to get 24 votes." Thing or not a thing?
It's a thing, but it's not what everybody wants it to be. We're all sitting here waiting for the magic bullet that'll you know, finally kill this unkillable thing that is this tyrannical owner. But in the sense that it was a major deal to me when Roger Goodell was like, no, not what they said. We're saying something contradictory, because that doesn't happen. Talking about when Dan Snyder and company were like, "We'll investigate ourselves." And Roger Goodell, a couple hours later, was like, "No, you won't." That's a big deal, because that doesn't happen. That tells you that not everybody's on the same page. It tells you not everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction. In the wake of Robert Sarver, the Phoenix Suns owner who, you know, was suspended for a year, fined a bunch, and then ultimately forced to sell because, frankly, players are more powerful in the NBA than any other league. And you had enough public pressure where it was just the right thing to do.
They also had advertisers pulling out.
Exactly.
Which have not really happened to the extent necessary to move the needle for the Commanders.
Because people want to be in the NFL, even if it's win, you know, with the 32nd out of 32 NFL teams, it's still the NFL, dude. So it matters in the sense that you're starting to get a little bit of that pulse, that little bit of that groundswell. We're nowhere close to it being done. We're nowhere close to the Mary Jo White investigation is resolved, let's say, in 2 weeks. Details come out. 6 months later, he's not the owner anymore. I don't think we're there. I don't think we'll ever get there, quite frankly. But it does matter in terms of dealing, in terms of the future of this franchise, that it's no longer just whispers behind the scenes. It's no longer rumors. It's no longer only Jarrett Bell coming out saying, "Hey, people aren't terribly happy with Dan Snyder." It's not Mark Maskey's one report from Indianapolis that he talked to an anonymous owner that said, "Yeah, this isn't great." Or Mark Davis says a thing about the investigation coming out. You're starting to see a groundswell where we now know nobody's happy with this guy. No one is in it. No one is on Team Dan, except maybe Jerry Jones, his best buddy.
Well, so how could,
in that sense, it's a thing.
Other owners be supportive of him? I mean, he is costing them money in some way. And it's hilarious to say this, right? Because year over year, Washington is up more than the league average. And we're talking about being up like 40%. But it's if you're an owner of the league, you know that it's not that he's doing something all that well or that you're doing something all that well as it pertains to being an owner. It's just that you have this unbelievable asset that is able to print its own money. I mean, you own an NFL team. Doesn't matter what you do, man. You're just going to get money. It's going
to
become...
You fail your way to billions.
...worth more and more and more. But the question is, are you losing out on money that you might be able to get? Because the floor is this. The floor is you're being investigated constantly. We may or may not now have unearthed that you might have cooked the books, or someone within your organization may have. That's an allegation that's been out there. You've got this harassment of the employees being dealt with. You may or may not have sexually assaulted someone. Another allegation that is out there with Tiffany Johnston. And so with all of that, you're still up 40% year over year as an organization.
Yeah, it's more than double what he paid.
Could it have been 60%? You know what I mean? Could it have been 57%? Could it have been 53%? So I don't think you're worried necessarily that he's driving this thing into the ground as much you're worried, hey, how much are we not getting as a group to split just because of how badly he runs this thing compared to when it was at its peak in Washington and fans cared a lot and they didn't all hate him and people hadn't sworn off going to the stadium.
And the stadium stuff matters real quick, GP. Owners don't like bad precedent when it comes to anything, whether that's people opening up the books or the skeletons in the closet about their own wrongdoings or misgivings or otherwise. But they also don't like the precedent of, we're not giving you a single cent for your football stadium. That doesn't bode well because stadiums get older. Guys and gals who own these things own them for generations, and things get outdated. That municipal stadium that was awesome in 1980 stinks by the year 2000, and the thing that was built in 98 now stinks in the year 2022. People need the new stadiums. They don't like the idea that nobody wants this guy and nobody wants to build that stadium. That's toxic. That's bad precedent for them.
Oh, it's terrible. The timing of this is pretty obvious, I think, and why this came out this weekend. You referenced Robert Sarver and the fact that he had to step down or will be selling the team, essentially, in basketball. And remember, we had Lisa Banks on the show last week, who's the attorney for the 40-plus women and a couple of guys who used to work for the team that are ongoing with their fight against the Commanders. She had issued a statement. She elaborated on that statement on our show last week when she said, quote, "We now need the NFL community, including players, owners, and corporate sponsors, to demonstrate the same outrage and moral strength as those in the NBA community and force accountability for these egregious actions." That was Banks and Katz, the attorneys, who released that statement. "Like Robert Sarver, Dan Snyder must go," end quote. And they put out that statement right after Sarver said he was selling. Their point was, why is this happening so quickly and efficiently, for lack of a better word, in basketball?
Yep.
But in football, it's not the case.
No one seems interested in it.
So the Post contacts them. They start contacting some owners. And that's how this story came about when it did last week. So I get how we got here. My default on this and in all these stories, if you guys listen to the show enough, is, you know, I feel like he will be here. He will be owning this team for years and years and years. So I kind of see this. And while I think it's great reporting,
yes,
Mark Maskey, super plugged in. Liz Clark, super plugged in. Nikki Javala, you know, working boots on the ground in Ashburn. It's exactly what they should be doing. It's all legitimate. It's well-sourced. I don't mean to belittle any of the story. I just, it's more of the wake me up when something happens, right? It is, I explained this to someone who's a friend of mine who's in another market this weekend when this came out. They hit me up and we were talking on the phone and they're like, so are people giddy down there? And I said, no. I said, it's kind of like a boy who cries wolf thing at this point. I said, they've so many times thought that the story, thought that the news, thought that the development, the lawsuit, the him getting called in front of Congress, whatever it was, mm-hmm, was going to be the beginning of something, and then it wasn't. Now, they have left their house being told, go to this event, it's really fun, 100 times, and they've never had fun. So they kind of stay at home now. I think most people see that headline, and they're like, oh, sure. Yeah, they're really going to vote. I mean, you look at the wording, the exact quote from someone. One of these owners said, like, basically, we need some people to, you're the people.
You're the people, dude.
You have the power, guy, whoever, whichever of the 31 owners you are. Are you going to go tell them to sell? Because if you're not, shut up.
Yes, first of all to that. But I would say my tinfoil hat type deal here on this is, I think we're pretty close to a resolution or some leaking or something coming out of one of this multitude of investigations, be it one of the attorney generals, be it Mary Jo White, be it Congress. I think they know that something's coming down the pike. And I think they want it, talking about the owners, maybe the NFL, Goodell
something
at large.
Something like what? What do you mean by that?
Well, in other words, like the results of these investigations or something's going to come out very soon.
Okay.
Whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, right? And I think they were planting a seed and they want something on the ground or something on the record as to say, like, yeah, we totally, you know, we don't approve of Dan Snyder. Look, we never enabled him. Look, we have been saying these sorts of things for, but it's as you said, it's kind of anonymous. It's innocuous. One person still not on the record with a name. Another person's like, yeah, it'd be nice. Someone should do something. Like, as you said, you're the someone. I think the league wants it on record saying like, yeah, but oh well. I don't know how to, I'm not saying this very well. I think something is about to happen where we get a resolution to one of these investigations and there'll be public pressure and it'll look bad. But the NFL specializes in the clock continuing. The NFL specializes in getting these games back in front of us. Thursday Night Football's tomorrow night. I'm going to stop thinking about this and I'll be thinking about if I should start T. Higgins or not in their game against Miami. The league marches on. The games are the thing and it beats everything else. It beats all the outrage, outcry, whatever else because of these weekly appointments. But I think there'll be some anger, some vitriol as one of these things gets released. I don't know which one. I get the sense it's Mary Jo White, by the way, but I have no idea. I'm not reading anything that indicates that, but it just seems to be, you know, maybe that's something that happens. And once we have a new negative swirl around Snyder and company, inevitably the splash or cascade from that is, yeah, we know Snyder's the worst, but wait a minute, you other guys are enabling him. And I think they wanted something on the record to be like, hey, it's not us, man, not our fault. Not our fault. Just really hard to get somebody out. That's all. And that's kind of how I see that. And I don't know if that's too tinfoil hatty, but that's how I view. That's my first thought when I saw those comments.
I want to see what you guys think about this. Many of you, I'm sure, read the story this weekend. I've heard about it since. Now, the headline is that there is growing acrimony, essentially, among owners about Dan Snyder. Do you buy that this could lead to anything or that anything could happen? Because I am dismissive. Not of the reporting by any means, but you need these people to actually do something, and you have a quote here when someone says, yeah, we need to get some people to go to him. It'd be the equivalent of major problem at the radio station, and someone asked me about it, and I'm like, yeah, we should really have some people go talk to the big bosses about this.
I'm the people.
I could email. I could call. I could talk to them. I could give you the quote you're looking for right now. But I didn't choose to do that, did I? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. 1067 MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're blitzing the NFC East, top of the hour. Really good segment. A lot of info in one 15-minute block for you here on Grant and Danny, so make sure you're listening at 5. Story in the Washington Post Sunday morning about Dan Snyder and the fact that his fellow owners are growing irritated by him and may even try to tell him to sell the team, maybe even put together a coalition to try to force a vote. They would need 24 of 31 of the owners, other than Dan, to vote him out. Seems unlikely, seems like it's not happening, but we want to know how you guys feel about the idea that supposedly some of the owners are getting more upset. Let's go to Mark in Largo on G&D. What's up, Mark?
You know, you would think with revenue sharing that the NFL would be a little bit more strict than what they were doing, but it's kind of crazy. It's funny, you know, when Dan got this team back in 98, and Danny, you remember this because you remember in 98 that no one wanted John King Cook to keep the team.
Yeah.
You also remember when Howard Milstein, he went through 6 months of trying to get the team, and the NFL didn't give it to him. So they gave it to, so Dan said he would get it, and we got it. It's kind of like Dan was the third choice of getting this team, more so than anybody, and we were all happy. And now we got this.
That's a great way to put it.
And now we got this. What a line, Mark. He makes a great point because I remember I was 9 or 10 when Dan bought the team. People were excited. And you guys legit sleep excited on this if you don't remember it. But he was going to spend money. He promised he would be active. And by the way, they liked it in 2000 when he spent $100 million. Now our revisionist history that it didn't work was he was a goofball and, you know, what was he thinking? But that was exciting, man. You had an, it's like, think about the Nats. If a hotshot young billionaire owner came in here and started spending tons of money and being top of the board and payroll, people were pumped. Thanks, Mark. Good hearing from you, bro. Let's go to Steve in Fairfax.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man. Hey, man. I just think it's too much like maybe, will, if this happens, I don't know, whoever this anonymous source owner is, it's like they're not, it's nothing breaking out of this. It's almost like I think, Danny, you were saying, they're giving themselves cover if something does come down the pipeline from these investigations. But there's nothing there from this. And I think at one point, man, or at some point, do y'all think that Dan Snyder is just keeping the team for spite?
Yes.
Knowing that nothing's going to change. He's just doing it because he can.
Maybe partially. He's keeping the team because it's the only business that he can't ruin. I mean, there's quite literally nothing he could do, in my opinion, that will cost him money. It's like the best investment in the world. They used to say real estate, it's buying an NFL team. But there's also some spite to it, too, I guarantee, because he knows everyone wants him to sell, and that's why he won't sell.
Totally. And forcing him to do something he didn't want to do, he's not used to that. These guys don't like to be told what to do. So he's in the cool kids club. He does nothing. He fails, and he gets more money. So he just bought that huge mansion. He's got the giant yacht and the two different planes. That's not because he's been successful. It just happens. He could get his $5 billion, pay a little bit in taxes, go off somewhere, but he gets all the same perks and privileges now. You see what I'm saying? Like, he acts like a retiree now with the coolest toy in the coolest club that you could ever be in. And for that little twerp, he's never giving that up. Never.
Chudy's in Virginia. Hi, Chudy.
Hey, man. What's up? Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, bud.
Yeah, so I'm with Grant on this. I'm very apathetic to this news. It's either going to happen or it's not. So I'll believe it when I see it. And the thing is that even with the whole Robert Sarver issue in the NBA, which is, you know, good that he's selling the team. It's not like the other owners in the NBA forced him out. He just said, well,
great distinction, yeah.
It's not worth the trouble. So I'm going to sell it. He's going to get a couple of billions selling the team. So he's like, why not be a few billion dollars richer?
It's a fantastic point. And it's the same thing, yeah. Chudy. Thank you, buddy. As Jerry Richardson in the NFL. He was not voted out by the other owners. Mm-hmm. Jerry Richardson sold after those reports came out about some of his transgressions. He was much older than Dan. He was kind of over it, according to a lot of people. He said, is this really worth the headache for me? I could just go buy my own island or do whatever it is that he's doing now.
Sure, yeah.
And I don't need this team anymore. And so he sold to David Tepper. Dan is much younger, wants to be involved, likes running the football team, likes playing fantasy football as best he can, thinks he's going to win a Super Bowl at some point, still loves going to the games and being around the players.
Being called Mr. Snyder and hanging out with the athletes.
Paying for friends who happen to play in the NFL. I mean, so he likes a lot of that stuff, more so maybe than certainly Richardson, but Sarver, who I don't know at all. But it's a great distinction, too.
Yes.
I will say, though, that Sarver didn't just choose to get out because some people wrote some things about him he didn't like. Advertisers were pulling money en masse. I mean, you had a couple of major advertisers say they're not doing business with him anymore. To the point where, when that happens, other owners are calling you and going, hey, Robert, you're done, bro. We can't have this.
Yeah, Paul
Simon.
Whether
they had a vote or not, I guarantee you other guys said, if you don't have the advertisers, you got to go. And at that point, the juice is no longer worth the squeeze.
Yeah, and then beyond that, again, the players in the NBA have more power than in any other sport. It's not even close.
So true.
You start to add that in going, well, I'm not going to Phoenix.
LeBron.
Yeah, like, you know, is Chris Paul going to ask for a trade now? You know, that kind of stuff, right?
Draymond was very vocal.
Totally. And again, I understand that. But I guess my point is, I don't know if you'll ever see that level of player revolt in the NFL, a league that is, you know, the average career is 2.5 years and, you know, no matter what happens, the games are going to get 26 shares on television, right?
I'd say the sports, if you're looking at like a political pendulum,
yeah,
right, where we go far left, far right, whatever, and the basketball and the football are like the logos for where they are. Basketball is further to the left, right? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes.
And say football, if you're dropping those logos. So that's part of it. But player empowerment, because of the numbers, honestly, more than anything else, 50-plus players per team versus 12 or whatever. You know, in basketball, 7 to 9 guys on a given night play. 6 to 8 of them really matter. Football, 42 guys are playing in every single game, and 30-plus of them matter a whole lot. So those numbers make it really, really different for a LeBron or a Draymond Green to just be so powerful that they come out and say something, and it does a lot of damage to an owner. Let's go to PJ and Reston. Hey, PJ.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. You know, I'm kind of like with the other callers, to where I have a little bit more of a hope that Snyder might actually sell this team, but it's in like a realistic way. I know a lot of things have to happen. The caller before did a good job of explaining how it wasn't so much that Sarver was really truly forced out. He just kind of saw the pasture and said, hey, I'm not going to be able to graze these cows here, so to speak, really good. So he just went and sold the team. And a lot of credit to Draymond Green for getting him to do that. And one thing that's interesting is also we as fans should kind of think to ourselves, like, I heard that JP Finley said that the Washington football team has like the most expensive beer, like $13 or $14 for like a beer, whereas like Baltimore, it's like $7, right? So if we don't like Snyder, but if we go to the game and we're buying like $14 for a Bud Light, that's going to make Snyder want to stay as the owner even longer. Like, if these people are going to pay $14 for beer, I'm not going to sell the thing. And also, if there's enough time, I was going to ask a really easy concussion protocol question.
Sorry about it, buddy, but we're actually right up against the clock. Thought real quick on what he said about the beer.
Yeah, I mean, business is charged what they can get away with, right? And Snyder's no exception to that, and he's gotten away with it for years. It's now coming home to roost where people don't go to the games anymore. We used to do the expired airline peanuts, the old beer, the beer vendors in the urinals and all the other kind of stuff, and now it's starting to catch up to him in terms of attendance and the like. So it's whatever he can get away with, and, you know, when you go and you buy it, he'll let them get away with it.
My stock answer anytime someone says fans need to stop going or people need to boycott is that is happening.
It's going on.
So obvious. Like every time I go to FedEx Field, the stadium isn't full. And on the rare occasion that it is this week, partially because they lowered the number of people who could be in the stadium again, at one point in time in my lifetime, there were 90,000 plus people at FedEx Field for a sellout. I saw it against the Cowboys opening week, number one, overtime game, 1999. Aikman to Rocket Ismail, 76-yard touchdown. Look up the box score. 90-plus thousand, right? It's the biggest outdoor stadium in the country. That place now seats a little over 60,000. They've ripped out 30,000 seats, and then they yell about a sellout. When half of the 60,000 are Eagles fans, you have somewhere between, on average, 10 to 30,000 Commanders fans that go, it used to be 80,000-plus. People are not going as much. They're not spending as much, and a lot of it is Dan Snyder. You are seeing that. I'm one of the people that will never stop going, or if I was a fan, would never stop eating there, buying gear, whatever it is, I'm the problem. And there are season ticket holders that keep going back. I don't fault them.
I don't fault them either.
He doesn't get to ruin my thing because he's awful and I don't like him at his job. I'm not going to stop the thing that gives me the most joy in my life, that I enjoy. He doesn't get to take the Redskins, the Commanders, the football team, whatever we're going to call it, away from me. And that's always been my philosophy, and a lot of fans feel that way. And I don't fault them at all if they're going to keep going and keep spending. But plenty of people like you won't go.
That's right.
Won't buy gear. No pennies to him. And he has felt that for sure. Let's blitz the NFC East next. All three teams in the division right here on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh,